Am I the only one doing a Dynamite review tonight? Welcome to all the AEW fans. I am the Solemn Monster. This is your AEW Dynamite review for April 7, 2021. Busy night. And it is the final night. The final night of the Wednesday night skirmish between AEW Dynamite and NXT. This is the final head-to-head battle. This is it. Starting next week, NXT crawls on over to Tuesday nights. We're not going to have the head-to-head anymore. The skirmish is over, right? About a year and a half. Rest in peace, right? Whatever. Well, it was nice while it lasted. And Tony Khan decided that tonight would be a great night to go ahead and trot Iron Mike Tyson back out on Dynamite. Just picking a random night. Hey, Mike, you're not doing anything tonight. No, actually, I'm not doing anything at all. Okay, why don't you come on down to Daly's place? We're just having a regular show tonight. There's nothing else going on. So we have the return of Iron Mike Tyson to Dynamite here. And also, if you saw the end of the show tonight, at this rate, I think the Young Bucks, they're beginning their journey. They're going to try to see if they can top Paul White for the greatest number of turns. One time we see them and they're clear baby faces, then we see them and they're acting like a bunch of bratty, snot-nosed heels, then they're baby faces again. And now the Young Bucks have gone back to the dark side, realigning themselves with Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers. We have talk of the Bullet Club back together. I'm finding it very difficult to bring myself to care about this whole melodramatic stuff with Matt Jackson. Standing in the ring, he can't beat up his friend. You're in the middle of a wrestling match, dude. And he decides at the very end of the match, I can't super kick this guy. He's in firm control of the match. All he has to do is hit Kenny Omega with his super kick, and he can't bring himself to do it. And I say to myself, in today's wrestling, largely because of the Young Bucks, although you could say the Usos, I mean, they're not the only offenders here. But in large part because of the Young Bucks, the superkick has become almost comparable to sneezing or taking a deep breath or going for, you know, the Irish whip into the ropes. It's not even a move that really means anything anymore. So what's so dangerous about him hitting Kenny Omega with a super kick? Who cares? Well, honestly, this is not the reaction they were going for. But as I watched this at the very end of the show, I didn't find myself watching this feeling sorry for Matt Jackson. Oh, he's such a conflicted man. I feel so bad for him. I'm watching this and I'm trying to stop myself from laughing. On the whole, what did I think of AEW Dynamite tonight? I thought it was a pretty solid show overall. Really, the highlight of the night, I thought, was the Chris Jericho promo. Chris Jericho was on his A-game tonight. I think Chris Jericho is very excited. He's going to be on the Broken Skull Sessions this weekend. Everybody's talking about him. The Inner Circle just turned babyface. Now he feels reinvigorated. It's the first time Jericho gets to play babyface in a few years. And he went out there and he cut what was a fire promo in the middle of the ring. Not one of the other Inner Circle members said a single word. This was their first big promo since coming back as babyfaces, and I thought Jericho killed it. And I thought that was the highlight of overall, like I said, what I thought was a solid show. And also, shout out to Darby Allin and JD Drake, who had better than expected TNT title match. You know, JD Drake is not anybody who's gotten really any television time on Dynamite. You would know about him if you watch Dark. You know, some of the lesser shows, maybe Elevation. I don't know if he's been on Elevation recently, but JD Drake went in there tonight and he had what I thought was a very impressive performance. He went in there, he had an opportunity to have a championship match on TNT. He went in there and he held his own, and I think that he took advantage of the situation, and I thought JD Drake, even in defeat, had a good night. Outcome was never in doubt, but I did enjoy that match. So we're going to get into everything here. We're going to get into the whole show, top to bottom, left to right, up and down. Let me go ahead and talk about the schedule for the next few days. Wednesday, that's right now, we're live on YouTube talking Dynamite. Tomorrow night, I will be doing a double review for both nights of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. I'm going to review both shows. That's immediately after Night 2 ends on USA, or I guess Peacock, it would be, tomorrow night. Friday night, I'm going to be live again, talking SmackDown, whatever happens on Friday night, and WrestleMania 37 predictions. And then it's the big one this weekend, back-to-back nights, Saturday and Sunday, live right here on YouTube. WrestleMania 37 Night 1, WrestleMania 37 Night 2, and of course, do not forget, Sound Off Episode 699, dropping on your feed on Sunday, as it does each and every single week. It's going to be a busy week. I do hope that you will join me. Let's get right into this show. Chris Jericho and the Inner Circle, they were the first faces we saw, and they are faces now. They have turned. They arrived at Daly's place. We saw them pull up in the parking lot, and Jericho got out of what looked like a very expensive Lamborghini, threw the door up. And I love how he stepped out of the Lambo, and they walked into the building, and Jericho just left his car completely unattended. Door wide open. Boy, if that were me, first of all, that thing would never leave the garage. I certainly wouldn't leave the door open to my car. How much does that cost, anyway? What kind of Lamborghini is it? I didn't look it up. I'm sure it's too rich for my blood. But we had Hangman Adam Page opening the show one-on-one against Max Caster of the Acclaimed, who had Anthony Bowens with him in his corner. Again, Bowens has been out with a knee injury. It's obviously not that serious. He was moving around pretty good tonight, but we've seen Max Caster with more singles matches in recent weeks. Tony Schiavone pointed out that today is National Beer Day, and I would like to tell you that I have some beer in this mug right now, but I would be lying, because I didn't realize that today was National Beer Day, and I don't have any beer here in the house. Otherwise, I would be drinking some right now, in celebration of National Beer Day, and in celebration of Rodimus Prime, who just dropped $55 via Super Chat. Rodimus, I salute you, sir. If I had beer, hey, if I had two cans of beer right now, I'd be crushing them together. But Rodimus Prime, we're going to get to your Super Chat, and everybody else is here in a little bit. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. First big bomb of the night. Love to see it. So anyway, National Beer Day. Good to see Hangman Page working on a holiday here in the opening match. Spinebuster, Exploder Suplex from Hangman. That leads to a big comeback. And they're out on the apron. Both men throwing forearms. Hangman drops Caster onto the ring apron, back first, knocks the wind right out of him. So Page goes up to the top rope. He's going to go for his big moonsault, the Orihara moonsault, when Anthony Bowens distracts him. And poor Max Caster, he was trying to show off. He was trying to do one of these things where he gets up and he pops up in one motion onto the ropes, onto the middle rope or the top rope. And he didn't quite make it. So he had to try again. But he did it on the second try, but I'm sure he was very embarrassed that he didn't hit it the first time. So Hangman tries for the Deadeye. Bowen slides the boombox into the ring, and it goes underneath Hangman's legs. Hangman grabs the boombox, and referee Rick Knox says, "No boombox for you," and he grabs it out of his hand. He goes to place it outside the ring. Bowens, meanwhile, slides his chain into the ring without Hangman, without the referee knowing about it, slides the chain into the ring to Max Caster, wraps the chain around his fist, hits Hangman in the face with it, and gets a very close near fall. Caster goes up top, misses a big move. Hangman sets up with a buckshot lariat. Anthony Bowens grabs his foot. Hangman says, "You're a pain in my ass." He kicks him away, moonsaults him off the apron, gets back up on the apron, and hits the buckshot lariat for the win. And then Hangman does what any good citizen would do on National Beer Day. He goes into the crowd and he grabs a cooler and he starts drinking, because his job is over. And he goes and he goes ahead and celebrates the day. So I thought this was a fine opener. You know, Max Caster, yeah, from what I've seen of him, and again, he's had more singles matches in recent weeks, he looked good. Hangman looked good. Hangman is just kind of in this weird biding his time mode really is what he's doing right now, because he's not quite ready to challenge for the championship, but they don't quite know what else to do with him. So you put him on TV and you just let him rack up wins. I mean, that's really all you can do with him. I know Lance Archer is looking for an opponent. Perhaps that could be a program, although he seems to be more linked up with Sting. Oh, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Tony Schiavone was in the ring to interview Death Triangle. Pac is back. Pac has been out with an ankle injury since Revolution. And I was talking last week about the fact that maybe we're seeing the end of Death Triangle in this incarnation. We've seen Laredo Kid, who was not there tonight. And it almost felt like maybe Laredo Kid was going to kind of take Pac's place. He seemed to be a better fit for the group. And then this week, Pac is back and there's no Laredo Kid. So much for that. But I like Death Triangle. I don't mind that. I just didn't know when Pac was going to be able to come back. So they're in the ring, and Tony Schiavone lets us know that Pac and Rey Fénix, they're going to get their tag team title match, which honestly, I had forgotten about. So yes, they did win the right to challenge the Young Bucks for the tag team titles at Revolution. They won that right. They are getting their tag team title match next week on Dynamite. They're going to be doing that match. Before they could really say anything, they're interrupted by Best Friends. And of all people to do the talking for them, the first person to speak is Orange Cassidy. And Orange Cassidy begins talking. They throw it up to some footage up on the big screen that shows over a year ago now, Revolution, pre-pandemic, they show Pac and the other members of the Death Triangle in the ring with Orange Cassidy. I think it was one-on-one. I think it was Pac one-on-one against Orange Cassidy, I believe. And footage of them destroying him, laying him out. I mean, this is when Death Triangle was in full heel mode. They certainly came off like heels tonight, too. But yeah, just to remind everybody that there's a little bit of history there between the two groups. They wanted just to refresh our memory. By the way, Chris Statlander was out there with Best Friends. She is now officially part of the group. Because, yeah, look, if you're an AEW and you're a singles player, you're pretty much an island unto yourself. It's almost like peer pressure. I feel like if you're not part of a group, like if you're not part of a faction, something is wrong with you. You have to find a group to latch on to. Everybody's got to be part of a group. You got plenty of choices in this company. You have no less than, what, 8 or 9 different factions? Trios? That you can join? You've got groups of 3 all the way up to groups of 6 or 7 people. Chris Statlander has linked up with Best Friends. Pac says he knows why they're here. They want a piece of the number one contenders. He says they're not worthy. Trent says that he just wanted them to know that the boys are back in town. And they brought an alien with them. They now have an alien as part of their group. I don't know what was the deal with Trent's mic at first. The audio, something was messed up. The audio on the show is very wonky every week in different segments. You would think that they would have this in check by now, but I don't know. They seem to have more audio issues than they should have. So there's a program, or at least a match, that they've set up. I guess I didn't see that one coming, but when you have two different trios groups, they kind of match up well. It's something for them to do. I am looking forward to that tag team title match next week. I think that match has some great potential. The Inner Circle arrive for our second consecutive promo segment of the night. Chris Jericho comes out, he says, "We've got a lot to say," right after this commercial. So Chris Jericho's out there doing his best Howie Mandel on Deal or No Deal. Very weird way to segue to a commercial. But they come back, and Jericho, like I said at the beginning of the show, this was, to me, the highlight of the episode. Jericho goes all in on the Pinnacle. Now, this is the first babyface Inner Circle promo, so you have to make it memorable. You have to make it impactful. The last time we saw them, last week we saw them, they beat the shit out of MJF and everybody in his group, but prior to that, the last time that we saw the Inner Circle, they were getting their asses handed to them, right? Jericho was busted open. It was this big beatdown. We didn't see the Inner Circle for about 3 weeks. So this was their first time to really speak. They had to make it impactful. That's why they had Jericho do all the talking, because no matter what you think about Jericho these days and his matches and everything, he can still talk. And if everybody in that group, he is the best on the microphone. He's certainly better than Jake Hager. So they gave Jericho the microphone. All the other guys did was just stand in the background and they observed. They observed a master at his craft. Jericho was on his game tonight. He said the Inner Circle had gotten a beatdown and a wake-up call by the Pinnacle, and they owed the fans an apology. Jericho said that MJF was his jerk-off friend. He said, look, I'm a smart guy. I'm not smart about everything. He was talking about chemistry and, you know, I failed chemistry in school or whatever he said. He goes, the one thing I do know, though, is the psychology of pro wrestling. Said MJF was brought into the Inner Circle. They knew how dangerous he was. He said, we knew at some point he was going to turn or try to turn on us, but they didn't plan on him being one step ahead. Jericho said that MJF is smart, but he's not smart enough to know how to properly apply a spray tan because he had more streaks than the toilet bowl that Jericho shoved his face into last week when he gave him that swirly in the bathroom. Said MJF wants to be better than Jericho. He goes, you're not ready for that. Don't worry about being better than Jericho. Worry about being better than Peter Avalon. Worry about being better than Michael Nakazawa. Just burying the shit out of these guys. Burying the shit out of these guys. He said MJF stole his scarf gimmick. He stole his scarf gimmick. He says, I was rocking the scarf gimmick 5 years ago. Why are you stealing my shit, man? That's lame. Said MJF is full of himself in this business. When you're full of yourself, they have a word for that. It's called being a mark. And he's going to change it. He goes, instead of being a mark, now it's you're a max. Said MJF is being a max for himself. And then he went one by one through all the members of the Pinnacle, starting with Tully Blanchard, who he called a third-rate member of the Four Horsemen. He put him somewhere in between, Ole Anderson and Paul Roma in the pecking order of the Four Horsemen, which is not true, by the way. He said FTR is one of the best tag teams in the world, but he has no idea what their names are. He can't tell them apart. He goes, are you Dax and Cash? Are you Axe and Smash? Are you, what was the other one he said? Axel and Slash? And you know, when he said that, it never really occurred to me. But hearing him say that and knowing, you know, FTR is a very old school team and all that, I do wonder, because I've never heard, FTR address exactly how they came up with the names or where the names were derived from. I wonder if it has to do with Demolition. I wonder if it was a playoff of Axe and Smash, because it fits perfectly. Right? Dax and Cash, Axe and Smash. Just, I never thought about it that way, but now I'm wondering if it was really done as a tribute or if it's just a coincidence. If it was done as a tribute, that's very cool. Demolition's my favorite team of all time. Jericho said the only reason he knows Sean Spears is because he called Jericho when he got fired from the Fed 10 years ago. I guess that would have been after his ECW run, I guess, right? What was he in ECW? Gavin Spears, is that what he was? He says, joining MJF is about as smart as wearing a blonde mohawk in 2021. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. He said, Wardlow had a million... Now, these are his words. He said, Wardlow had a million-dollar brain and a 13-cent body. So, obviously, he fucked up the line. Let me tell you something. If Wardlow has a 13-cent body, then I must owe somebody money. So he got his lines crossed up there a little bit. Then he said Wardlow has to strip down naked just to count to 21, which is not a visual that I needed. And he challenged the pinnacle. Here it comes. I told you guys, if you watch this podcast, if you watch any of these streams the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, this should not have come as a surprise because you heard me talk about this. He laid down the gauntlet. He said, we've been waiting since March, was it March 25th of 2020. Newark, New Jersey is where they were originally going to do this match. It was going to be the Inner Circle against the Elite in a blood and guts match on Dynamite. He goes, May 5th, blood and guts, the Inner Circle against the Pinnacle on Dynamite, live on TNT. He said they're going to kick the shit out of them. And then at the very end, I don't know what the hell was going on here. TNT was going nuts with these they're censoring words. I couldn't even understand what the guy was fucking saying. They were pushing the button and they would mute him and then he was unmuted and just let the guy speak. Unless he's dropping F-bombs. I mean, they say every other curse word on this show. I mean, what's the difference? So I don't know what he said at the very end there, but it is official. Inner Circle against the Pinnacle, Blood and Guts, May 5th. Cinco de Mayo. It is a Cinco de Mayo Blood and Guts match. Blood and Guts, for those who don't know, was meant to be their version of War Games, so unless the rules have changed, they're going to fit two rings in Daly's Place, and they're going to have their version of War Games between these two factions. And I had the same question that I know a lot of you probably are asking. Well, why are they doing this on Dynamite? You're so close to Double or Nothing. Why not just wait for Double or Nothing? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The original Blood and Guts was going to be a Dynamite main event. That was not planned for a pay-per-view. They wanted that match on TNT. So they probably want this as a television main event. They're not doing this as a pay-per-view main event. And it doesn't matter anyway because Double or Nothing is not going to be in Vegas. Double or Nothing is going to be exactly where Dynamite's going to be. Daly's Place in Jacksonville. These companies are not going anywhere so fast. WrestleMania this weekend is going to be at Raymond James Stadium. They're going to have 25,000 plus people in the building on both nights. You better enjoy it if you're tuning in, because that's the last time you're going to see fans in a WWE event, not counting NXT, for the foreseeable future, because they're planning events in the Thunderdome with no fans at least until July. And I assume AEW is no different. So I feel the way a lot of you feel, and that I wish they could just wait a little while, and then when they're back on the road or they go back to Newark, you can give them the main event that they had originally promised them. Do it in front of like a rabid crowd of 5,000 or 10,000 people. The reality is it's just going to be too long. How much longer are they expected to wait? It's been 14 months. By the time they get to this match at the beginning of May, it's going to be almost the full 14 months since they originally announced Blood and Guts. Now, if they're not planning on being on the road in front of actual crowds until August or September or October, and who knows, that could get pushed back too, then what the fuck are you waiting for? Just do it. You've got these two factions. I do think that now if they go to Double or Nothing, if they wanted to do another stadium stampede, that would be a bit much. It would be overkill. So if you're going to do Blood and Guts on May 5th, at the end of May, doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to do another stadium stampede unless it's two totally different teams, which it might be. After what we saw tonight at the end of the show, it could be the Elite or Bullet Club or whatever the hell they're going to call them now against Jon Moxley, Eddie Kingston, maybe a few other people, Darby, Sting, maybe. They could do stadium stampede with a whole bunch of different people and not these two groups. But we're finally going to get our Blood and Guts match. Those of you who have been waiting for it, you won't have to wait much longer. Wait about another month, and you'll finally get your match. Dasha was backstage with Christian Cage. Outwork everyone except me. He ain't outworking me this week. Christian can take a seat. So I'm working my ass off between now and Sunday. But Christian was backstage with Dasha. And was cutting a promo and talking about his match last week with Frankie Kazarian when all of a sudden he was interrupted by Taz. Taz walks up to him and is talking about the fact that, you know, they have history together. They've travel down the same roads. WWE, TNA, they've been in the same places together. And he offered him a spot in Team Taz. And Christian looked like he was ready to just say thank you, but no thank you. Taz wouldn't let him speak. He says, look, sleep on it. Take some time to think about it and sleep on it. He goes, you could be part of our group. We can help get you to where you need to go. We can help get you where you're looking to be. And then you can be, you could help my guys. Your knowledge and everything. You can help my guys. It's a mutually beneficial thing. So now Christian has a standing offer to join Team Taz. I sense a match coming with Christian Cage and Ricky Starks. Sign me up. I'm all for that, if that's what we end up getting out of this. Christian Pauly just became a Sound Off superstar. Thank you for joining the channel. Great to have you on board. Welcome to the family. The number two ranked tag team in AEW, the Jurassic Express, takes on the number four ranked tag team in Bear Country. That was up next here on this show. Early on, Jurassic Express, they send both bears outside the ring. Jungle Boy hits consecutive suicide dives on, I guess, Boulder. Is that who it was? Boulder Bear. Is that his name? Boulder Bear. Bear Country then, on the third attempt, catches him. Luchasaurus, though, hits a step-up dive of his own. It's dives galore here on Dynamite. Bear Boulder is tossing around Jungle Boy, picks him up for a powerbomb, and then something very weird happened, clearly a botch. Luchasaurus went for a crossbody. I guess he was trying to break it up. I don't know if the idea was that the bear was going to catch him as well and show off his strength by holding both men at the same time, or I don't know what they were going for here, but something got fucked up and botched here on this spot. And the announcers just played it off like Boulder, his strength is what kept him from falling over, because he was still standing there with Jungle Boy. And so whatever they were planning on doing, he just went ahead and powerbombed Jungle Boy. So eventually Jungle Boy gets the hot tag from Luchasaurus, who hits a spinebuster on Boulder, makes the cover. Bronson Bear, this is ridiculous. Bronson Bear breaks up the pin by driving Jungle Boy down, like a Michinoku driver down onto the pile. And that breaks up the pin attempt. Bear Country hits a double cannonball in the corner on Luchasaurus. They get a very close near fall. They go for another double team splash. Jungle Boy lands a low drop kick, though, to break it up. Luchasaurus sends Boulder to the outside and hits a choke slam and a standing moonsault on Bronson for the win. What do they call that? The Mesozoic moonsault? Is that his name for it? My boy, Scott Woodford, just upgraded his membership from Sound Off Superstar to Sound Off Legend. You are indeed a legend, my friend. I met Scott I've talked to Scott for a few years by email. But I got to meet Scott for the first time on the Jericho Cruise a little over a year ago. And that was very cool. So, Scott, thank you, man. I appreciate that. As far as this match goes, I thought it was pretty sloppy. I really wasn't totally sold on this match. The Bears were fine, you know, again, kind of like J.D. Drake in the TNT title match. This was their biggest spotlight on this show so far. Normally, they're relegated to dark, maybe a show like Elevation. So it was a big opportunity for them. I just thought that there was a lot of just sloppy shit going on in this match. The Comedic Genius, thank you for becoming. Look at this. We're racking up members, man. This is only day one. We got five straight nights. WrestleMania week. Let's go. Wake up. This is great. Thank you, though. I appreciate it. After the match, we got a promo. Here we go. Now, you guys know my thoughts on QT Marshall. I don't really see anything overly exciting when I see QT Marshall on my television. He's a guy, but there's nothing about him, you know, from a charisma or a personality standpoint, he's lacking. But I have not really seen a great QT Marshall promo. I don't see all the stuff he's doing on the YouTube stuff. I watched Dynamite. And I said, everybody was telling me, oh man, you know, you should see some of the stuff he does on, was it Being the Elite or some of this other stuff. And I said, that's all well and good, but let him do that on Dynamite. Let's see what he can do. So they had a pre-tape segment from the Nightmare Family or Nightmare Factory gym, I guess it was, with QT and his students, those who are now part of his little faction. And he accused Cody of taking credit for his accomplishments at their training center. He said Cody played second fiddle to Ted DiBiase. Ted DiBiase Jr. He wore face paint to hide from the fact that he would never amount to shit. He called him a bargain basement sting. Said that he went to the Indies then to surround himself with vanilla midgets. And at that point, I was just groaning at that point. All due respect to the people that were surrounding him in this promo, but how do they not fit into that? I mean, maybe not Camarado, because Camarado looks like, hey, he's a big boy, but I mean, this guy is surrounding himself by that same definition with vanilla midgets. As soon as I heard vanilla midgets, I was just like, eh, all right. Surrounds himself with vanilla midgets on the indie scene to make himself feel like a star. You know, I have to say, Cody, if you really think about it, there is a lot of truth in that, right? Because Cody was only positioned in WWE at a certain level, which is not his fault. I mean, I'm sure he wanted to do more, and they had him stuck doing the Stardust thing. But if you think about what he has done since leaving WWE and becoming part of, you know, Bullet Club and aligning himself with those guys and then doing the same in Ring of Honor, I mean, that's really what he did. Cody latched on to a more popular act. He basically just kind of jumped into what they were doing and was able, and to his credit, hey, he's done a good job of it, to build his own name and profile up by basically associating himself with Bullet Club. He piggybacked off of that association. That's exactly what he did. QT's not wrong. There's actually a lot of truth in what he was saying here in this promo. He said, never again will Aaron Solo, who's one of the members of his group, never again will Aaron Solo be viewed as someone's boyfriend. For those who don't know, Aaron Solo for years, I think like 10 years, up until recently, was in a relationship with Bayley. They recently broke up. They put like a statement out a few months ago on social media. So that's what that reference was for. He said Nick Camarado would not be viewed any longer as just a body guy. And then we got to hear for the very first time from the boxer guy from the UK, Anthony Ogogo, who talked about what a huge mainstream star he is in the UK. I will put that question to those of our UK, if we have anybody right now who is from the UK in the live chat. I know it's kind of late right now in the UK, so they may be sleeping. How big of a star is Anthony Ogogo? I know he has a name over there, but I mean, how big of a mainstream star is Anthony Ogogo in the UK? Like, how big of a boxer is he relative to someone like a Tyson Fury, who I know is very big over there? Clue me in. I would like to know. So QT says that this is his fucking factory, and at that point, Camarado has a bucket of blue paint that he tosses onto the wall. There's a Nightmare Factory logo, or maybe it was a Nightmare Family logo, and he drenches it in blue paint, and that was the segment. I thought that QT delivered his lines well. That's the best compliment I can pay this. Because this whole thing just sounded very scripted. You know, one of the things about AEW, when you're in the ring on television, a lot of their promos, they don't feel that way. In WWE, they all feel that way. But this was a pre-tape thing. It felt like he was just, you know, reading a bunch of lines. I'm still waiting, though. Still waiting for that one big QT Marshall promo in the ring, mic in hand. I didn't get that here. He did fine with the material they gave him, but that wasn't the promo I was looking for.
WWE's biggest two-night event is this weekend in Tampa, Florida, and to celebrate this historic event, DraftKings, an official gaming partner of WWE, is putting you in the center of the action with $50,000 up for grabs this weekend. Each night of WrestleMania will have a $25,000 free-to-play contest. Playing for your share of $50,000 is easy. Download the DraftKings app, sign up using promo code SOLOMONSTER, and enter DraftKings free-to-play WrestleMania pool. There, you'll answer questions like, who's going to make a surprise appearance, or who's going to walk away victorious? The customers with the most correct answers will get their share of the $50,000 in prizes that is up for grabs throughout the weekend. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its players since 2012, so they know a thing or two about big paydays. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code SOLOMONSTER to enter the free WrestleMania Prediction Challenge with $50,000 up for grabs all throughout the weekend. Use promo code SOLOMONSTER now and enter two free $25,000 contests each night of WrestleMania. Only at DraftKings, an official gaming partner of WWE. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Then we had, speaking of promos, Tony Schiavone was on stage for his weekly attempt to interview Sting. Now, I was cracking jokes about this a few weeks ago, and now they're self-aware because they're cracking jokes on their own television show about the fact that every time Tony Schiavone is out there with Sting, he can't get a word out before he gets interrupted. And when they went to commercial and I knew this was coming up next, I said, oh boy, here we get to see Sting get interrupted again. And sure as shit, out comes Sting. Tony Schiavone begins to ask him a question. And we hear the voice of Jake the Snake Roberts out of the tunnel to interrupt Sting. So here comes Jake. Jake says, he called Darby Allin. He mentioned Darby Allin, right, who's a friend of Sting's. And he referred to Darby as a gerbil. Said that Darby Allin looks like a gerbil. Have you ever heard the Richard Gere gerbil story? If not, which is, I think, just urban legend. But if you've never heard of the story, good. Keep it that way. Be lucky and grateful that you do not. It's the first thing I thought of when he said gerbil. I thought of Richard Gere and the gerbil story. Putting a gerbil... Anyway. So then he said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, which Jake did his entire fucking career. So if anybody is legitimately insane, it's Jake Roberts, although it is nice to see him doing better now. But Jake made a career out of doing the same shit over and over and over and over again. Knowing it was bad, he would do it anyway. So actually, he's the perfect person to go around and talk about this, because if anybody knows, it's Jake the Snake Roberts. Lance Archer comes out. He interrupts Jake. We go from Jake interrupting Sting to Archer interrupting Jake. It's like a chain. We just keep going. Send somebody new out every 3 minutes just to interrupt the guy before them. Lance Archer comes out. And he says he's tired of getting moved to the top, and then all of a sudden he disappears from TV. And then he gets a bunch of main events, and then he disappears from TV. It's the classic start and stop push, and he's sick and tired of it. He tells Sting, this is not your time, this is my time. I should be the one out here being interviewed by Tony Schiavone. Sting grabs the microphone out of his hand. He says, I actually agree with you. I agree with everything that you're saying. And he tells Jake, hey, you might want to, you know, tell your guy, show your guy how to do it, how to take it. If he wants it so badly, he has to go out and take it. But I agree. You should be in main events. You should be challenging for championships. I don't disagree with any of it. And he's really putting over Lance Archer, which is a good way to use your legends. Instead of having Sting come out here and bury the guy, you have Sting saying, you know what? You're right. You are the shit. You should be in main events. You are the man. So I like that. I like the fact that Sting was putting the guy over. Sting still has a lot of credibility, I think, in the eyes of the fans. And then Sting said basically the same thing again to Jake. Show your man how to go out and take it. And he slammed the mic down and he walked off. So at least we got to actually hear Sting speak words this week. And he put the guy over. But again, it is to the point of just pure comedy at this point, that every time this man comes out, he's interrupted. I mean, it's just a matter of who's going to come out next. Now, I don't know. I mean, Sting put the guy over here. So are they just going to move in a different direction now? Did they only use Sting in this situation to put over Lance Archer verbally on the mic? And Lance Archer is just going to start wrecking shit and taking Sting's advice? Or is he going to take out Sting and say, well, you told me to go ahead and take it. Well, what bigger name to take out than the Icon himself? And that then is what leads to a match. Because I just think that's a total mismatch. Sting and Lance Archer, it's kind of a match that worries me, to be honest with you. So I don't know if this was their way of pivoting away from that, or if Lance Archer now is going to take out Sting. I guess we'll have to wait and find out. Before we get to this TNT title match, I do want to welcome everybody who is in the group with us live in the chat right now talking AEW Dynamite. I know we have a lot of people who are tuned into NXT tonight. So some people were watching that and not watching Dynamite. I want to let you guys know about one very cool thing. I am very excited about this, and I hope you will support. This is a big week for the podcast, for WrestleMania, everything that's going on. You can enter a WrestleMania prediction challenge with $50,000 up for grabs from DraftKings this WrestleMania weekend. All you have to do is download the DraftKings app and sign up with the code SOLOMONSTER to enter. The contest is free. It's actually one of their free pools that they have. So at some point, you may be prompted for a code. If and when you are, that's the code right there that you want to put in. SOLOMONSTER. Although I will caution you, I checked before to see if it was showing up in the DraftKings app. They had a contest like that for NXT TakeOver. But I didn't see the WrestleMania one listed. So if you install the app, if you go in there and you go in the free pools section, if you don't see either night, either contest for WrestleMania, just give it a day. They may not have it up yet. But again, when you do, use the code SOLOMONSTER. You'd be helping the podcast out a lot. And it's free to enter. You can win free stuff. You can win money. Shit. Sign me up. So I'm very excited about that. Darby Allin. He defended the TNT Championship against J.D. Drake. Said earlier, this is a big opportunity for J.D. Drake. We don't normally see him on Dynamite. We see him on Dark. But we don't usually see him on this show. This was his weekly open challenge for Darby, putting his title on the line. Drake has been hanging around with Ryan Nemeth, who was at ringside, along with Cesar Bononi, was at ringside as well. But Nemeth tried to get involved in this very early on. Sting was slowly stalking him. He wasn't chasing him, like running after him, but he was basically walking towards him, and Nemeth was backing away. Of course, Sting has a fucking baseball bat in his hand, so you're going to back away. I don't care how old the guy is. The guy could be 61, he could be 81. He's got a baseball bat in his hand. You don't want no part of that. So Sting just kept stalking and walking towards the guy until he basically chased him out of the building. So that was the last we saw of Ryan Nemeth. Back from commercial, we got a spot where J.D. Drake rebounded Darby Allin off the ropes from the outside and just wrecked him with a forearm. Darby avoided a cannonball on the floor, which sent Drake crashing into the barricade. So Darby was up against the barricade. And here comes J.D. Drake, and he got nothing but barricades, so that didn't feel too good for him. Darby then took out both Drake and Cesar Bononi with a top rope dive to the floor. Drake pushed Allin off the top rope, placed him in a tree of woe, tried for another cannonball, hit a Vader bomb for a great near fall. Darby rolled out of the way, though, of a moonsault, went back to the top rope. He got cut off by Drake yet again. Darby hit an avalanche code red from the middle rope and then the coffin drop for the win. I thought this was a real good match. This was a real good match. I enjoyed this. And JD Drake, hey, he took full advantage as best he could of the opportunity. I doubt we see much more of him on Dynamite. It's not going to really change his status, but it was a big showcase for him to be in a title match on TNT. But the other reason I like this, the more wins like this that Darby can rack up, like, it just plays into the whole underdog persona, because he was working from underneath a lot in this match. He was taking a lot of punishment, taking a lot of abuse. And then Darby makes his big comeback, and he fights his way back, and he finds a way to win. It plays into the whole underdog persona. And, you know, he's starting to rack up wins on TV. He drew attention to the fact the whole purpose of this open challenge was he came out on television and said, it's a joke. I've defended my title 3 times since November. It's like they almost forgot that he was the champion. So now he's starting to win a lot of matches every week. So I like that. He's the scrappy underdog who always finds a way to win. After the match, though, Butcher and Blade, they attack Darby on the stage. And Allie went over to the announce desk and she was yelling at the announcer. She wanted them to clear away from the table. They were going to put Darby through a table. While she's screaming at the announcers, though, out comes the Dark Order with Sting, and they chase away Matt Hardy. It's Matt Hardy's group. Matt Hardy's private office, or home office, I think he calls his group. And they got chased away. Poor Allie turns around and sees that all of her people have fled. The Dark Order is there. Ty Conti then tackles her and mounts her on the stage. There's a visual for you. And that leads into the match that was coming up next. But before we get there, there was another big segment on the show involving Chris Jericho. So we had Jericho's promo earlier on in the night. Here, he was in the back being interviewed by Alex Marvez. Immediately, though, gets attacked by the Pinnacle. Pinnacle now is going to get their revenge for all those comments Jericho made about them a little bit earlier on. And they drag Jericho out to the ring, and they're beating him down, and there's no Inner Circle. And the camera then cuts to the Inner Circle locker room, and we see that the door, they're trying to get out, and they can't get out. The door is locked. They're trapped. And they're starting to, you know, chop the door down with an axe or whatever it was they were using. They were trying to destroy the door so that they can get out. But back in the ring, they're killing Jericho. FTR kills him with their spike pile driver. And they set up a table outside the ring, and it looked like Wardlow was about to put Jericho through the table from inside the ring out over the top rope through the table. When all of a sudden, whose music should hit? Iron Mike Tyson, making his first appearance on Dynamite since, would it have been what? September? August or September? It's been a few months. It was before the Roy Jones Jr. fight, which I think was back in November. So it's been a while since we've seen Tyson on Dynamite. But Tyson comes out, and before he gets in the ring, he rips off his shirt. He reveals a better physique than half the AEW roster. He was in great shape. Mike's going to fight again. There's no doubt about it. Mike is keeping himself in good shape. Mike's what, 54, 55 now? Maybe 53, 54, somewhere in that range. He looks great. He immediately takes down Sean Spears, goes for the ground and pound, or as Michael Cole used to call it, the pound and ground. He's pounding and grounding him, which sounds like a fucking sex position. Something I never want to associate with Michael Cole. Finally, the Inner Circle. They have chopped their way out of the locker room. They make their way out. They chase off the Pinnacle. Mike Tyson is standing tall. Mike Tyson looks better than anybody in the ring. He looks better than Jericho. He's standing there with his shirt off. He's posing. He's making muscles. Tyson looked like he was having fun like he was with DX back in the day. And the Inner Circle, they're loving this. Jericho's loving this because he gets the photos of him hanging with Mike Tyson, like Tyson is part of his group. He and Jericho come together. Jericho shakes his hand, hugs him, and says thank you. So they've patched up their differences. They were trying to make a match between Jericho and Tyson back in September, and it didn't work out. But now they're best friends. Now they've made up, and they're bosom buddies. So that was Mike Tyson's big involvement in the show this week. He's going to be back on the show next week, Doing what? Well, I'll tell you in a second. We had Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Rebel. They were interviewed earlier in the day by Tony Schiavone in the back. And Britt Baker was demanding a championship match with Hikaru Shida. And Tony Schiavone pointed out that you're only ranked number 4. And Britt Baker said win-loss records don't matter because she is a draw. Either way, she's going to keep racking up wins to get a title shot. Which sounds good to me. Sounds like they've got the same idea that I've been talking about, which is that Britt Baker should be the next AEW Women's Champion. And I think they could get there at Double or Nothing. I think they could build to a match with her and Shida as soon as Double or Nothing at the end of next month. And I would change the title. If you need a heel to take the title off of Shida, Britt Baker is the only option that they should be thinking about right now. Then you can build up any babyface you want. You can have Britt Baker have it for 6 months and drop it to, you know, Thunder Rosa and kind of bring it back to the two of them if you want. But Britt Baker should be the next AEW Women's Champion. We had Ty Conti with the Dark Order in her corner against the Bunny with Matt Hardy's family office. That's what it is. Matt Hardy's family office in her corner. Bunny gave Ty Conti a suplex on the floor and then sent her into the barricade before cutting to commercial, which they always do during the women's matches. I mean, a lot of the men's matches have it as well, but if there's a women's match in the ring, especially with these ladies, I guarantee you there will always be a picture-in-picture, always, during their matches. Hikaru Shida was out there at ringside. I guess she was scouting, I guess. Ty Conti was making her comeback when they came back from commercial. She's hitting a bunch of judo throws. She missed the knee in the corner. Ran into a kick by the Bunny. Conti now laying in a bunch of forearms, and Matt Hardy tried to distract her. So she was able to avoid the Bunny trying to catch her and grab the advantage. She hit the Ty KO. Did not win with it, though. That surprised me. I thought that was going to be the end, but Bunny kicked out. Bunny rolled to the floor, and she threw a cheap shot at Hikaru Shida. And she grabbed Shida's kendo stick, and she ends up smacking Conti with it behind the referee's back. Aubrey Edwards didn't see it. Shida then popped back up, took the kendo stick away from the Bunny, allowing Ty Conti to hit a superplex and the DD Ty for the win. So a win for Ty Conti. They talked about Conti as if she's next in line for a shot at Shida's title, which is great. I don't think she's winning. Now, if they wanted her to win, I can't say that I would mind it. I like Ty Conti, and she gets better every time I see her. I just don't think she's the right person. Plus, she's a babyface. She's positioned more as a babyface. I think Shida has to lose it to a heel. That's why I go with Britt Baker. But before they get to the Britt Baker match, they could do Shida and Conti. I assume Conti is ranked higher right now. I mean, I don't have the rankings in front of me, but she must be ranked higher than Britt Baker is. So, look, you've got another... Really, it's just shy of 2 months before Double or Nothing. Shida could defend that title once or twice between now and then. Before you get to the Britt Baker match, absolutely. Chadwick in the chat says, Ty Conti's time will come. Indeed. -1, by the way. He's a lucky little guy. He's in the ring. He comes out with Ty Conti and is hugging her. He goes to the back. When the match is over, he comes back. She hugs him again and picks him up. What a great job. This kid's got a contract. He's on television. He gets to hang out with Ty Conti. That put a smile on anyone's face. So -1 is a lucky guy. Main event was a trios match with Jon Moxley. Boy, they love their trios matches, don't they? They just try to shove as many people on these shows as they possibly can. They're showing these match graphics one after the... And every match graphic has like 3, 4, 5, 6 different people. They try to squeeze as many people as they can on these. Even JD Drake... One-on-one TNT title match, and he's got Nemeth out there with him, and Benoni. Every fucking match, every segment has multiple people. Can we get some one-on-ones where there's nobody else out there? Even the opening match. Max Caster, he's a tag team guy. He had Anthony Bowens in his corner. Can we get some one-on-ones with nobody else around? Is it possible to do that? Now the trios match. John Moxley and the Young Bucks against Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers. Man, I got to tell you now, you know, we've seen the Good Brothers on the show a whole bunch of times. And, you know, they're doing their thing, I guess, at Impact Wrestling. When they're on my screen, I just don't give a shit. I just don't care. I just don't care about the Good Brothers, my God. Oh, my God. They're quickly approaching QT Marshall territory for me, if they're not already there. So we had Matt Jackson and Kenny Omega facing off to start the match out. And instead, Matt decided to tag out to his brother Nick. So Omega took Nick down with a shoulder tackle. Nick came back with a Hurricanrana, so Kenny Omega tagged in Carl Anderson. Nick Jackson took care of Anderson and Omega before Moxley helped. They had all the heels on the floor and all the baby faces banded together for a triple dive out to the floor. Big dive. Takes us right into... They dove right into the commercial break. I think there was a commercial, right? There's usually a commercial in the main event. I think that's where the commercial was. At least that's where I made a note that it was. But let's skip ahead to the real events that took place here in this match. We have Matt Jackson in the ring with Kenny Omega, the man that he did not want to fight. The story here is that these guys are best friends, and Matt Jackson, he doesn't want to fight his friend. He can't bring himself to do it. Even though he didn't do the too sweet with his friend a few weeks ago, too sweet me, he wouldn't do it. He doesn't want to fight him. But finally, they're fighting. They're wrestling back and forth. He's outworking Omega. He's taking him down. Finally, though, it comes time to go for a super kick. And Matt Jackson, who throws super kicks in his fucking sleep, he probably super kicks his wife and kids every day, and it has no effect on them at this point. They've pretty much built up an immunity to it. I don't think the guy gets out of bed in the morning. He throws a super kick. He takes a piss in the morning. He takes a super kick. He probably stands there and has breakfast and throws super kicks while he's eating and reading the paper. But he can't throw a super kick at Kenny. It's such a devastating move. He can't bring himself to throw a super kick at Kenny Omega. Can't do it. Kenny Omega starts smacking him around in the face. Finally, Matt double legs him down, starts raining blows down upon him. Omega hits a snapdragon to Matt. Second snapdragon. Omega now goes for the V trigger. At that moment, John Moxley slides into the ring, turns him inside out with a lariat. Matt Jackson finally hits a pile driver to Kenny Omega. Omega kicks out. In comes Nick. They hit more bang for your buck. Carl Anderson breaks up the pin attempt. Nick Jackson with the Escalera dive takes out the Good Brothers on the floor. And Matt Jackson on the inside, instead of following up, which you should do here in this main event match, he's more interested in checking up on Kenny Omega. He's very concerned about Kenny because Kenny is still down from the pile driver, and Kenny is obviously hurt. So he's checking on his friend. Nick Jackson comes in. He says, let's do it. Let's hit the BTE trigger. He's ready to do it. Matt can't bring himself to do it. What a puss this guy is. He can't bring himself to hit the BTE trigger. He's having great conflict from within about whether or not he should hit this move. They go for it a second time. Again, he can't bring himself to do it. John Moxley says, fuck this. Tags himself in. Brushes right by Matt Jackson when he goes in. He grabs Omega, hits the paradigm shift. Picks him up. It's a second paradigm shift. Follows that with a rear naked choke. Moxley goes for a third paradigm shift when all of a sudden the Bucks hit stereo drop kicks. Or not drop kicks, super kicks. Stereo super kicks to their partner, John Moxley. Eddie Kingston limps out. Got the cast on his foot for his injured ankle. And the Good Brothers attack him on the stage, you know, on the ramp. Give him the magic killer. So they laid out Eddie Kingston. Magic killer in the ring to John Moxley. and they drag Kenny Omega's lifeless body onto Jon Moxley for the pin. Excalibur, this was the best. This was the best. Excalibur on commentary. Now, I admit, when he said, I wasn't looking at Matt Jackson when he said this, but he makes the comment, I quickly glanced up, and I briefly saw it with my own two eyes. So maybe I didn't see what I think I saw. But Excalibur says he thought he saw a single tear streaming down Matt Jackson's face as he watched all of this havoc unfolding that really was of his own doing. He thought he saw a tear streaming down his face. And I have to give Excalibur a lot of credit because, you know, damn it if he didn't try. But really what it was, I think, was his awful spray tan that was streaming down. And maybe it was sweat mixed in with the tan, but it was his awful spray tanner that was dripping down his face. But Excalibur tried to play it off like it was he was shedding tears. Good on Excalibur for at least trying. He tried his best, but I think that's what that was. It was less of a tear and more of this awful, awful spray tan. So the Bucks then end up hitting super kicks again to Jon Moxley, just to make it very clear that this was a turn. This was a turn to Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers, who they embrace as they go off the air. Omega wants to do that stupid too sweet sign again, which, you know, I don't know. The too sweet stuff is so played out, but I guess we saw it with Balor and AJ and I don't know. Can't these guys come up with their own shit? Do they really have to steal it from the Click? That's all they do is just copy off the Click. Come up with your own hand sign. I got a hand sign. Here's the hand sign for you right there. Actually, that's the Inner Circle hand sign. But yeah, they super kicked Moxley to make it very clear this was no mistake. They did this on purpose. The Young Bucks have turned. The Young Bucks have gone to the dark side. They have joined their friend, Kenny Omega. They have joined with the Good Brothers, who they just got done wrestling, and I don't give a shit about. And that is how they went off the air. They went off the air with chants of "You sold out" from the crowd. Man, I haven't heard that chant in a while. You sold out. So, said at the beginning, not really into this melodramatic bullshit with the Bucks. They can't act. Every time they try, it's awful. It's just terrible. But now they've at least done the turn, and now they're one big group. Remember, we have factions galore in this company. So this faction just grew a little bit. Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston, I'm sure they're going to be looking for revenge. We'll see where this all leads. You know, if they find themselves a few partners between now and then, maybe they do another stadium stampede. They're going to be at Daly's Place. That could become an annual thing until they leave. I hope they're back in Vegas next year. That'd be a great sign if they were back in Vegas for Double or Nothing next year. I'd love to go. But for now, they're back at Daly's Place. They could do another stadium stampede. So maybe that's what this is leading to. But next Wednesday, Chris Jericho goes one-on-one with Dax Harwood, with Iron Mike Tyson coming back again as the special guest referee. Actually, not the referee. He's the special guest enforcer. He's basically in the role he was in at WrestleMania 14 for the WWE title match. He will be the enforcer. All other members of the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle will be barred from ringside, because when you tape two shows in one night, you got to get your money's worth for Iron Mike. They're taping two shows tonight. Dynamite is 1 week on live, 1 week taped. So we're getting a tape show next week. Darby Allin defends the TNT title, Falls Count Anywhere, against Matt Hardy. The Young Bucks defend the tag team titles against Pac and Rey Fénix. Jade Cargill goes one-on-one with Red Velvet. Oh, we get to see Jade Cargill. I'm actually looking very much forward to Jade Cargill's first real competitive singles match on Dynamite. I was very impressed by what I saw of her in her first two matches, tag match, and then her in-ring singles debut. So I would like to see what she looks like here in a semi-competitive match against Red Velvet. And QT Marshall's guy, Anthony Ogogo, will make his in-ring debut on Dynamite next week. So that is the rundown for the show coming up next Wednesday. Fox McCloud in the chat says, Matt Jackson's acting is as good as anything my girlfriend watches on Hallmark. Well, if you want to set it at that level, I'll put it at that level. Hallmark, some C-level movies I will occasionally stumble across on Cinemax or one of those, you know, Showtime 2 or one of those movie channels. Sure. I would put it on that level. So that is the lineup for next week. Let us take a look. This is interesting because Dynamite was up against a takeover tonight. This was not just a regular episode of NXT. And takeovers are always blow-away shows. So let's see what the poll results say. Oh, very interesting. Look at this. We have a little bit of a reversal of fortune this week. 67% thumbs up for AEW Dynamite, 33.2% thumbs down. That's much lower than Dynamite usually does. Over on the NXT side, TakeOver, night one, 85% thumbs up, 15% thumbs down. Usually, we see the inverse of this. You'll usually see 85 up for Dynamite, 65 up for NXT. So it looks like another takeover show has once again delivered. So I'm very much looking forward to watching night one tomorrow. I will have to watch night one since I plan on reviewing both shows tomorrow night here on the stream. That's the first time, very long time, if ever, that we've actually had NXT so far ahead of AEW. Which makes total sense, though, because TakeOver, you know, that card on paper looked excellent. And Dynamite tonight turned out to be a solid show, but I'm sure it couldn't hold a candle to what they did on TakeOver tonight. So, very much looking forward to seeing what went down over on USA tonight. Let us move along here, because we have a lot of your messages to get to. I want to thank everybody so far who has sent in a super chat. You have comments about the show tonight, questions for me, anything like that, now is the time to get them in. I'm going to read through all of them. We're going to hang out here and have a little bit of a super chat party if you guys are down, if you guys are cool with that. If you guys want to hang out with me for a little while, we'll have ourselves a little super chat party. Thank you, by the way. We're kicking things off in a big way tonight. I'm going to be streaming 5 straight nights. Tonight is night one. Tomorrow night, we'll be doing NXT. Friday night, we'll be doing SmackDown and WrestleMania predictions. And then 2 nights of WrestleMania back-to-back, plus a podcast thrown in there if I don't collapse and die before then. So it's going to be a very busy week, very busy weekend. And I hope you guys are going to join me for all of it. So why don't we just put a little bit of music on here? A little bit of background music. Like I said, this is a party. You're gonna have a party, you gotta have music. Super chat party, that's right. I love it. Who are we starting out with here? Is it Hash? Is it my boy Hashway? It is indeed. Hashway with the $5. Best of luck, Solo Monster. Always appreciate the content, even if I'm not always on the stream. I always listen to it after. And Hash, I know, is, I think, Hashway around the world. Or halfway, even. Halfway around the world. So you don't have to apologize for anything. The fact that you are even on the stream right now is cool enough for me, because I know it's very early in the morning where you are. So thank you for joining. Ryan Spies, based on QT. Based QT. Is that what we're calling him now? Based QT? Really? I mean, we're really lowering the bar now, aren't we? Based QT, calling people vanilla midgets. And Kevin Nash should join QT's faction. Hey. Paparazzi Productions in TNA, when Kevin Nash was doing that stuff with the X Division guys, Alex Shelley and all them, that was actually very entertaining. I have to say. Nash can be very entertaining when he wants to be. Ken Terminated. Thank you for the $5. Any fans in the chat able to watch TakeOver on Sling TV? Are you subscribed to Sling and able to watch TakeOver Solomons? I don't have Sling. We have YouTube TV and Fubo. And my brother had to get Fubo because he wants to watch Knicks games. I said, you can get all the Fubo you want if you pay the Fubo bill. But we have that. We have YouTube TV. And don't have a need for Sling. Thank you for the question. Anybody else in the chat who wants to answer Ken's question, you may do so. Nayef Al-Safar, thank you for the $9.99. Good to hear from you tonight. I was wondering if our old friend Nayef was going to join us. EJ, the Masters during the day, WrestleMania at night. This should be a great week. I keep forgetting it. The Masters is this weekend. EJ, did you hear Davey Richards is supposedly making a comeback and has signed with someone? Do you think he'll debut in the Cole O'Reilly match? I don't think it's going to be WWE. I'm not even sure if he signed with a major promotion, unless you heard a more recent update that I haven't. I did hear that he's coming back. I'm not sure if it's with a television promotion or anything. I would be surprised, though, if he popped up on NXT. If anybody's going to get involved in that match tomorrow night, it would be Roddy. I don't know where Bobby Fish is, but it would probably be Roderick Strong. Oh, there's our Christian. Look at this. Brian Becerra with the $30 for Christian's LASIK surgery. Super chat. Just got home from work. Watching Dynamite as soon as I get home. -1. Living the good life. I said that before. -1, man, is living his best life right now, which is good because he's had a rough few months. So if anybody deserves it, it's -1. Let him hang out with Ty Conti and have his fun. We can all live vicariously through -1. Spanish Goddess with the $5. They need to give QT Marshall a new theme song. Maybe give him the Ice JJ Fish song to use as his entrance music. Well, he is a heel, so it would work. Jason in the chat says Bobby Fish is injured again. Well, what else is new? Hopefully nothing serious, but what else is new? I think that Bobby Fish has probably spent more time on the injury reserve in his time in NXT than he has actually active on the roster. This guy can't catch a break. Clearly he's injury prone. Oz and Glorious, love this episode. The story heaviness of it all gave me old school good WCW peak NWO vibes. Well, they certainly do look like they're copying the NWO. So you are not wrong about that. Right down to the hand gestures. Spanish Goddess, they should sign Rick Martel and use him as a heel manager. I don't think Rick Martel wants to come back. I think Rick Martel is very happy being divorced from the wrestling business. He made his money. Now he's doing other things. At least that's what I've heard. That could be why he's not in the Hall of Fame right now, which he should be. But I think he's very happy just being away from wrestling and doing his own thing. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $10, sir. Good to hear from Jacob. First time watching the two shows at the same time, and it was definitely hard. That's why I don't do it. I got to keep my focus on one so I can devote my attention to it and then do the other. These people that do two shows at once, God bless them. But I need to devote my attention to one over the other. I thought both were great, but the ending to Dynamite fell flat. Pac and Phoenix for tag team champions next week. I'm all for that. Maybe Jon Moxley cost them the titles. Maybe Moxley and Kingston are going to cost the Bucks the belts. We'll see. Burnt dried chicken without flavor. The Young Butts are a bunch of sellouts. What the buck? The Carpetbagger with the $5. Do you think AEW can go 1 week without forming a faction? They'll go 1 week without forming a faction when they go 1 week without interrupting Sting during a promo segment. Which is to say no, I don't think they can do it. Rodimus Prime with that $55 from earlier. He's still in the lead. Thank you, Rodimus. Pretty excited, he says, for the Blood and Guts match. The Pinnacle against the Inner Circle is going to be awesome. Burnt Dry Chicken, big shout out to Will Ospreay. He deserves the opportunity to represent New Japan. That's right, he is the new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. He's going to defend his title first against Shingo Takagi. And whoever comes out of that match as the champion will then defend the title against Okada at the end of May. Okada, who has two, I believe, slipped discs in his back. The guy needs to take a break. He's got to take a vacation. Why is he continuing to do this to himself? Jordan, no message, only some love. Thank you for the $5. Brian Gates, Solomonster, I agree about the ending of Dynamite. Big John Moxley fan, stay safe. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury with the $5. Let's see here. I'm in a faction in AEW, and I'm not a wrestler or an AEW employee. Well, so am I. I'm in a faction too. I haven't been told which one. I think we are all in factions in AEW. We haven't been clued in yet onto which ones that we're actually members of. Oh, here's Jordan with a message. Meant to put a message on the line. Well, okay. And here I thought he was just showing some love. How about that Discord, though? Also, great job on this week in history. Thank you. I appreciate it. I got a lot of really good feedback this week. You have no idea. You have no idea the time that went into that. And I'm really worried about this week because, you know, I had 21 WrestleManias to go through last week. And I don't have... There's not 21 this week, but there were probably at least 10. Other WrestleManias this week, plus whatever else happened this week. It is now Wednesday night, almost Thursday morning. I haven't even started the history section yet, and I have another 4 streams after this, plus the Sunday show. I have no idea, plus my job. This is a job, but plus the other job. I have no idea how I'm going to get all this done. It's days like this that I kind of wish I had coffee, and this, I don't drink coffee, but I could probably use some right about now. But we'll manage. We'll manage without. Ryan Spies, I just want the Bucks to stay heel. For fuck's sake, this is getting annoying. Quintus Brown, I can't see where this Bucks Omega story is heading, but I am enjoying it. Maybe Moxley and Kingston against the Bucks at Double or Nothing for the titles. Very possible. In fact, that sounds very likely. Bertrand Shepherd says, you're awesome, bro. Well, thank you. So are you. Thank you, Bertrand. Red Emissary of Darkness. I am the opposite of that one super chat. I really do not like the Young Bucks story because I cannot but them as baby faces at all by them, I guess he means. Or but them. I cannot but them as baby faces at all. And I cannot care less. Hashway with the $50 super chat. I missed that one. Holy shit, Hashway. What are you doing? I hate to put you on the spot, but what rivalry would you like to see built up for AEW or WWE other than Paige against Omega? And how would you build it? I miss old rivalries like Jericho and Michaels. You are the man. Well, that is putting me on the spot. I mean, to really map out a good feud. See, in AEW, it's harder. I'm trying to think in WWE. You know what I'd like to see? I'll tell you what I'd like to see. Samoa Joe has really had some tough luck in his WWE run so far. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. He's been doing the commentary thing for a year, and that's all well and good. And it's given him a chance to heal up. And you know, when you're dealing with concussion issues, it's serious, and you got to take it seriously. But Samoa Joe deserves a proper ending to his run in WWE. I'm not saying his run is over, but it feels like, I don't know, how much more time does he really have left in the ring? You know, do they even see him long-term as an in-ring competitor? They might just want to keep him as an announcer. I don't know where their head is at on Samoa Joe, but I would want to come up with a story for Samoa Joe, like a redemption story, where Joe has to really just claw his way back up and prove to people that he can still go, that he can still be the Samoa Joe of old, and work his way through the roster, whether it's Raw, SmackDown, it doesn't even matter, to an eventual championship match. I want to see Joe get that title, whether it's the WWE title or the Universal title. He is one of those guys, they really dropped the ball when he was healthy and they were doing stuff with him. I would have loved to have seen him take it from Brock when they had that great Balls of Fire match and they didn't pull the trigger on it. But Samoa Joe deserves to be champion in WWE, even if it's only a brief period of time. And I think there's a story there that you can tell of his road to redemption. And one thing that really appeals to me is the idea of doing Samoa Joe against the other Samoan named Joe. What if Roman Reigns held on to the Universal title beyond WrestleMania? He's mowing guys down left and right. And Samoa Joe steps up to the plate. Right? Roman Reigns is talking about the head of the table, the Samoan dynasty and all that. Well, Joe is, I mean, it's in his fucking name. He's called Samoa Joe. What if Joe steps up to the plate and says, hey, Roman, I'm still here. I haven't gone anywhere. And you build up something with Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe. Imagine the promos between those two. Roman Reigns is doing some of the best promo work of his career right now when he does speak. Sometimes Heyman does the talking for him. But man, Samoa Joe, you know, when he's out there spitting bars on the microphone, man, again, I'm thinking back to the program with Brock. I'm thinking back actually to that one segment the night after he lost to Brock when he talked about, you know, you didn't beat me or you survived me or something like that. But like he was getting up in Brock's face. He was telling Brock, you better look me in the eye when I'm talking to you. Roman Reigns was in the background. He was watching like a little kid. He was just watching like, man, I wish I could cut promos like this guy. That Samoa Joe is one of the best talkers in all of wrestling. And that doesn't go away. So concussions or injuries or whatever it is he might be dealing with right now, he can talk. He can cut authentic promos. They come across as genuine in a way that just stands out from everybody else, because all these other promos that a lot of these other guys cut, you don't buy into them. You don't feel anything. When Samoa Joe is out there and he's raging on somebody, there's nobody better. I would like to see him get one last proper run and get the belt that he never got, but he should have. I know his best days in the ring are behind him. The Samoa Joe from Ring of Honor, the Samoa Joe from TNA, he's not that same guy anymore. He's a little heavier. He's older. He's had other injuries. But I think you can still tell that story with Samoa Joe. So you want to know the story that I'd like to see? There it is. And I think Roman Reigns would be a great opponent for him. Of the two titles, if you're going to contend for one, it would be the Universal title and Roman Reigns. That's what I would do. People forget, man. Samoa Joe, he's been out of it now long enough where I think people, they don't remember how great he can really be. You kind of take people for granted sometimes. Joe deserves a proper exclamation point on his WWE run. Who else we got? But thank you, Hashway. That was a great question. I hope you get your $50 worth there with that answer. Because I didn't even know where I was going with that. But then I remembered about Joe and I said, man, that's the one. That's the one I want to see. Burnt dried chicken without flavor. Christian Cage against Brian Cage in a steel cage. Tony Khan would book it. See, that's the kind of super chat I would expect from Paul Heyman, who I don't see. I don't think he's joining us tonight. Christian Cage against Brian Cage in a steel cage, which reminds me of Mortal Kombat and Johnny Cage. And Mortal Kombat is coming out in a few weeks. I'm looking forward to checking that out. I have not seen Kong against Godzilla. I haven't had, I mean, this week, I forget about it. I haven't had any time. So let me know if that's worth watching. Jim Ross was going on and on about Kong and Godzilla tonight. Like it's his favorite fucking movie of all time. Is it worth watching? I mean, is it good? Because I haven't seen it yet. Food Hive. Good news. I paid for a Superstar membership week or two ago. Bad news. Did it on the wrong YouTube account. Can it be fixed? I don't see why not. If you just cancel and then do it under the right account, then it should be fine. If I'm understanding you correctly. But yes, it should be doable. It shouldn't be that big of a deal. Oz Inglorious. Ty Conti is a smoke show. P.S. www. We're with the wipers. We're with the wipers. Thank you, Oz. West Coast James. Is that Deadpool? Is that James Herrera? Thank you for everything you do for us. I haven't watched much wrestling recently, but I only keep up with it because of you. That is James. Thank you, James. James is a loyal listener of the Sound Off every single week. Dropping another five. Thank you, James. The Comedic Genius with the $1.99 Super Chat. Thank you, sir. Alex Jimenez with the 10 spot. NXT was my show tonight. What if the second AEW show is called Factions with a Factions Championship? You're awesome, Jason. I don't like that idea, but I am totally... If they want to introduce Trios titles, which I think is inevitable, I have no issue with that. Trios belts, I think, are coming at some point later this year. That's my prediction. I think we're going to have Trios titles in AEW. They have enough factions. They have enough trios to make it work. Ryan Spies, if they do Stadium Stampede, I feel it will be Hardy Family Office against the Dark Order. I love that. I love that Big Show Super Chat. Look how happy he is. You know what that's from? That one year during WrestleMania where it might have been 18, where he was relegated to WWF New York duty. You know on the inside he was hating his fucking life that year. He's like, why am I here? Why am I standing in the middle of a restaurant when WrestleMania is in Toronto? Was it that year? I'm assuming it was 2002, because I don't think WWF New York was around much longer after that. But you're right. It could be the Hardy Family Office against the Dark Order and just make it a friggin' comedy match. I mean, that's what it would end up being. If that's the direction they want to go in, then I guess you can do it. Burnt dry chicken without flavor. Max Caster's rap game is so good. I am glad AEW signed the Acclaimed. They bring a lot of flavor to Dynamite. Have a lot of charisma. Charisma is not really something you can teach. You either have it or you don't. Uffman in the chat says it was WrestleMania X8. All right, so I was right. Yeah, because at X7, he was in the hardcore match with Kane and Raven. You know, one of the stories about that match, I don't think I mentioned this when I did my This Week in History segment, if I remember correctly, when Raven was in, I think, the golf cart in the back and he was driving around, he ended up, I think, like in a little ditch almost. He was in an area where there were a whole bunch of wires. Those wires and cables were very important. And had he run over them in just the right spot, the power in the building would have completely gone out. So they really avoided catastrophe during that hardcore title match of WrestleMania X7. That would not have been good. Magician Sapphire with the 10 spot. Who do you see joining Moxley in Kingston against Omega and Bullet Club? Christian, maybe. Or a New Japan star. Or a new signee. Well, a certain someone comes to mind who just lost his IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. And now he has no title. Not only does he have no title, he's not even contending for it again anytime soon, right? Because Shingo and Okada, they're getting shots. This same person happens to have a lot of history with Kenny Omega. Wouldn't that be a hell of a draw for Double or Nothing? If they were going to do a six-man tag or some kind of gimmicked six-man tag where Kota Ibushi showed up in AEW and partnered up with Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley to oppose the Bullet Club guys, and we get Ibushi and Omega in the ring together. If they could pull it off, that's what I would do. I mean, Christian would be fine. But Ibushi, I mean, there you go. The story writes itself. The story writes itself. Come on. You know that's a great idea. Burnt dried chicken without flavor. Solomonster, don't start spitting out black goo during the stream. We need you to stay healthy. No black goo here. So far, so good. But if I start vomiting black goo, we got a big problem. Christian Pauly with the $10. A bit random, but after this episode, I think we might eventually get Hangman against Moxley to see who will challenge Omega and can see Paige beating Omega and finally becoming the champion. I could see that. Yeah, absolutely. I could see that. And it would give Hangman a big name to beat on his way up to the title match. They're going to have to heat him up. He's not ice cold right now, but he's cooled off a lot. Before he could go and challenge Kenny Omega, he would have to beat somebody big. Jon Moxley putting him over would be that big name that he could beat. So I like that idea. Look at that. Talk about timing. Burnt dried chicken without flavor, and look who just popped up on screen. The Fiend. The Burnt Fiend. He says, Jay White, G.O.D., Bad Luck Fale, Chase Owens, Kenta, and the rest of the current Bullet Club don't have time to take the Super Elite seriously. Matt Jackson showed his soft side. Khalid Adam with the $5. Thoughts on Deonna Purrazzo showing up on AEW to wrestle with Sheeta in a champion versus champion match? Well, I mean, the only problem there is who wins. They're already doing that on the next Impact pay-per-view in a few weeks. They're going to have Kenny Omega against Rich Swann, which, unless they do some kind of disputed non-finish, Omega should... I mean, the only outcome there is Kenny Omega winning. If it is any other outcome, AEW, Tony Khan, they're out of their fucking minds. So Kenny Omega is going to win. Would you want to do another champion versus champion match so soon? And what are you going to do, beat Sheeta? I mean, this is where the champion versus champion interpromotional stuff becomes a little muddy, because you can put whatever match together you want to do, but you have to come up with a finish that both sides can agree on. And I could see that being a problem. But I mean, seeing them matched up, even if it was champion against champion, but maybe not title for title, which maybe that's what Khalid is saying. Yeah, I mean, if there's no titles on the line, but you still have the same issue. Somebody has to win, somebody has to lose. So, possible, but I don't know how realistic it is. Impact needs AEW a lot more than AEW needs Impact. I wouldn't go in too heavy on the AEW versus Impact matches. They have a big one coming up in a few weeks. Right now, I think that's enough. Oz Inglorious. I'd rather watch Matt Jackson do community Shakespeare in the park 5 nights a week than spend a minute watching post-WCW, old WWE. Brian Becerra. Again, we saw that one earlier. Thank you for the $30. Burnt dried chicken. Would you like to see Kota Ibushi make his eight? Well, look at that. Great minds think alike. What do you think? I just got done talking about it. Ken terminated with the $5. I hope Samoa Joe does not come back and be an enhancement like poor Mr. Perfect, where his job is to help young guys like Shawn Michaels. Joe is in his 40s, right? I believe Joe is 40. He's either 40 on the dot or he's about to become 40. But yes, Joe is 40 years old. Look, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, the older guys being used to help put over some of the younger guys or work with them. But again, Joe has that one last big run in him. There is a story to tell there with him going after the championship that he has never won. And I would like to see them tell that story and not have him just doing jobs to a bunch of people on the roster. I'd rather not see that. Kevin, oh my God, did WWE miss the boat by not having Michael Cole manage Rob Van Dam? Now, why would they do that? What would possess them to have Rob Van Dam managed by Michael Cole? No. I don't think anybody asked for that. Thank you, Kevin. The comedic genius. Did you know Nathan Jones is in Mortal Kombat? Oh, the new one. Oh, I didn't know that. I know Nathan Jones, when he left wrestling, you know, because he sucked, he went and did some movie work. He had some bit parts. I think somebody wrote into me and said he was in Daredevil, I think. But I did not know he was in the new Mortal Kombat movie. I did not know that. Oofman Entertainment, WrestleMania X8, because Big Show mentioned it when he joined the NWO. Okay, well, that clears that up. Vash, what if the person that Moxley gets help from is his little brother, Shota? Shota Umino, or Yumino, from New Japan. That's right. That is Red Shoes' son, right? One of the young boys. I mean, you could do that, but you gotta put a big name in that spot. If you're gonna get somebody from New Japan and they give you fucking Shooter, I mean, come on. Hey, if they want to send Shooter on excursion and do some stuff for AEW, that's fine. But no, he should not be in the main events. You gotta get Ibushi. If you're gonna get a New Japan guy in for this spot, it's gotta be Ibushi. And they just took the belt off him, so the timing is perfect if he can travel over here. If you're gonna use anybody from New Japan, the one guy I would say I would make an excuse for and say, okay, I'll take him instead, would be Minoru Suzuki. I'd be okay if it were Suzuki. But if you're going to go for a New Japan guy to oppose Kenny Omega and those guys, it should be Kota Ibushi. It fits into the story they're telling. Oz and Glorious with the $5. Much as I love and adore the Ibushi idea, I think Omega is champion. The Bullet Club New Japan angles might be a little too niche, audience specific. Put the title back on Moxley. Well, that's what AEW is. They're catering to a niche audience. You think there's any casual fans who are watching what happened in the main event tonight who give a shit about Matt Jackson being conflicted about whether or not he should kick Kenny Omega in the face and watching as his spray tan drips down his face? Do you think any people care about that? They're catering to their audience. They're catering to the people who know about the Bullet Club history. That is their audience. And if you've watched any of the recent ratings, it's not like they're really growing the audience. That's who their audience is. That's who they cater to. Kevin, what was your favorite Dark Side of the Ring episode? Man, they're all, I mean, they're depressing as hell, but they're all very good. Man, you know, it's weird, like, favorite. The ones on Owen and Benoit were some of the best ones. So when I say, like, the Owen one was my favorite, it just sounds weird, because that was the one I watched, and I cried during that one. I'll admit right now. That one and the Benoit one. I mean, you're talking about a family that was just completely wiped out. I mean, if that doesn't fucking, you know, hit you right here, then I don't know what does. Those episodes got to me. I thought the Gino Hernandez one was very interesting in terms of all the conspiracy theories that were kind of pushed about who killed him or how he died. Again, favorite is kind of a weird word to use. The Bruiser Brody one is similar, right? That story is infuriating. But I thought it was a well-done episode. I didn't really learn anything new during it. I mean, we got to hear from his son. Probably the Owen one, though. The Owen one is the one that really got to me. Burnt dried chicken without flavor. WWE's worst idea if they created a Nia Jax cereal called Booty Holes. That screams cancellation. I'm going to cancel your super chats. You keep sending in these bad jokes here. Oh, you're the last one, too. We can't end on that. We need another super chat here. We can't end with that. Booty Holes. Is that the one we're going to end with, really? Somebody has to save the stream. We can't possibly end with that one. Booty Holes. Leave the ideas to me. Here's the AEW poll. 67% thumbs up. We go from holes to poles. We do it all here on this stream. And if you were wondering how NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 1 fared against AEW, well, it fared pretty well. 84% up, 15% thumbs down. That poll's going to be up for about 3 days, so feel free to go on Twitter at Solomonster and cast your vote. I want to hear from all of you guys on what you thought of these shows. Here we go. We got some super chats. Here we go. They're chiming in to save me here. Here we go. Here we go. We got it. We got a few of them. Oz and Glo- oh. We got a few of them, but my God, this woman's hole again on my screen. I said I didn't want to end with this. And I have to look at Naya's hole. Food Hive. Well, Food Hive didn't know it. That's one of the randos. Food Hive, I love his super chat too. Food Hive is great. Food Hive is awesome. Food Hive is love. Food Hive is life. Oz and Glorious says, I vote for burnt chicken, burnt, to go back to just dry chicken without flavor. Let's take a poll. Let's not say we did. I like that idea better. DB Toys, who better than Canyon? Very underrated talent, gone far too soon. The Comedic Genius, here's one. Solomonster Raw is poopy, taking us all the way back to 2008. And JBL is poopy. JBL is poopy. Let's see, who we got here? We got more super chats coming in. I love it. Jordan with the $5. Thank you, Jordan. What do you think about my idea of bringing Iron Sheik to AEW? That might be the only way I would watch Dynamite. I don't think that they need any more legends. So I'm going to vote no on that. Jesse Cam, what did you think of Kane's Hall of Fame speech? Once I see it, I will let you know. I watched part of the Hall of Fame, and I had work to do, so I still have not finished it. So I couldn't tell you. I thought Rob Van Dam gave a great speech. Very genuine, very heartfelt. I was not expecting RVD to give the best or one of the best speeches of the night, but there you go. Sometimes they surprise you. Burnt dried chicken. Should AEW consider doing a two-night double or nothing in the future? Sorry about the super chat. Well, no, you don't have to apologize for anything. No, I don't think we need... Everything does not need to be two nights. I'm getting a little tired of the two-night stuff. You know, it works out well for WrestleMania because there's so many matches. They try to get everybody on the show. Double or Nothing does not have to be two nights. I don't want to see that. Vash says, well, we found our bathroom break. Yes, we have. Thy name is Bully Ray versus Baron Corbin. That's not even a bathroom break. It's the main event. So what it means is it's an early trip to the parking lot. I'll piss when I get home. That's what that means. Christian, thank you for the 10 spot. Very cool. More food for thought, he says, with Brian Cage for sure leaving Team Taz. I wouldn't be so sure that that's a guarantee. Now, Taz has really been going off on Ricky Starks. Who's to say it's not Ricky Starks who gets excommunicated from the group the way that Randy Orton was from Evolution? gets a big head. They kick him out. Do you think he'll tag with Sting and Darby and they string out more of Darby against Team Taz? No, I think it's over. I mean, they've played that card already. There's no need to go back to it right now. Sting and Darby, they won. They won the match. That was the blow-off, and now they move on. We don't need to continue to see them feud. I don't think anybody is really clamoring for that. So I'm going to vote no. I'm going to vote no on that. All right, so we're all caught up with your messages, and this was a very productive first stream. Solid episode of Dynamite, but I am looking forward to seeing what I missed. Wrestle Austin in the chat says, TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 1 was pretty good. And judging by the results from that Twitter poll I threw up a little while ago, you guys seem to be in agreement. So I think I'm in for a good show when I tune in tomorrow. J-Dub says, two nights is stupid. Go back to three-hour traditional pay-per-views and stop stuffing the whole roster onto the card. I've been saying that for years. They want to make sure everybody gets their moment on the show, and that's admirable, but it makes for a horrible show when you have a 6 or 7 hour show. So dividing WrestleMania into two nights is almost a necessity. If they insist on doing that, then you know what? It is better. It's like what New Japan is doing now at Wrestle Kingdom. I think the two-night Wrestle Kingdom at the Tokyo Dome is going to be the new norm going forward. If they're selling tickets and doing business, then why wouldn't they? If it's a success, you just kind of, you double up. You do two shows instead of one. I get it. Not everything has to be two nights, though. WrestleMania does not really need to be two nights. You just don't have that many matches. But WrestleMania has always been long. WrestleMania, going back to the early years, had 14, 15, 16 matches. Just didn't notice it as much because back then I was, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old. So to me, all I wanted to do was just sit down and watch wrestling. I was probably only half paying attention to the undercard matches anyway. But go back and look at the cards for those early WrestleManias. They also had a lot of matches on them and a lot of really boring matches. Because they wanted to get as many people on the card as they could. Carlos Naftali with the $5. I got a weird feeling that AEW having all these factions is going to lead to something. Not sure what, but they do put a lot of thought into their booking. Some kind of faction warfare show. They could do a themed episode of Dynamite, call it, you know, gang warfare or something. They only have 4 pay-per-views a year. So them doing a full faction pay-per-view, like think Survivor Series, for example, I don't see them wanting to burn one of their pay-per-views on that concept, but I could see them doing a themed episode of Dynamite for 1 week. Why not? You know, those theme shows, gimmick shows, tend to do better viewers. So I could see that. EJ has what may end up being the final super chat here coming in. AEW better be careful with all these factions because we don't want a repeat of the awful mid-card gang wars from 1997. I do have flashbacks to that. Los Boricuas, the Oddities, the Truth Commission, DOA, the Nation of Domination, the Hart Foundation, DX. Who am I missing? Who else did we have in that period? I think I named them all. Yeah, that was a very... But all the Los Boricuas and DOA matches, I mean, ugh. I was going to say I'd rather watch Bully Ray and Baron Corbin, but I won't go that far. That's a bit extreme. I won't take it to that level. Let me remind you all of what is coming up. A very busy schedule these next few days. This is only night one. Coming up tomorrow. Actually, later today. It's after midnight. Thursday night. Same time. Same channel. I want to see you guys back here because I'm going to be reviewing both nights of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, including night 2, which hasn't even happened yet. Friday night, I'm going to be live with WrestleMania 37 predictions, and I might even take yours. You might want to submit yours. We might take calls. We might not. We'll do super chats. You guys can let me know what you think is going to happen at WrestleMania. Saturday night and Sunday night, back-to-back nights of WrestleMania 37. I hope you'll join me both nights and check out episode 699 of The Sound Off coming up on Sunday with a brand, hopefully, I should say hopefully, brand new This Week in History. That is if I have the time to actually get to it. Look at the Fiend peeking through Alexa's armpit. Look how cute. You know, Uffman in the chat says Alexa looks adorable. Forget Alexa, though. Look at the Fiend. Look how adorable the Fiend is. Look how cute. Look how cute that the Fiend is with that Fiend mask on. Anyway, that is the schedule, and I think we're all tied up here. I think that just about covers everything that I wanted to talk about. So, everybody who super chatted, all our new members who joined and became members of the channel tonight, and I'll throw up that information in a second if you want to consider joining. I hope to have some new retro audio up for the top tier members in the next few days. That's another thing I want to work on, is getting up episode 4 of The Sound Off, my fourth ever episode from 2007. So I am slowly working my way through the archives for all of you guys. I hope you are enjoying that trip down memory lane when I sounded a lot different than I do today. Sounded a lot more timid. You could hear flashes of current Solomonster and old Solomonster, but it's weird listening back to myself from 14 years ago. It is a little strange. And Jordan once again dropping a Discord. I haven't forgotten about the Discord. I'm just not ready to get it up because it would be a complete free-for-all. And until I know I can just kind of manage things, this is definitely not the week that I am going to be fiddling around with the Discord. But you are certainly free to just keep dropping these periodic reminders. And, you know, it might actually make sense to make the Discord a members-only feature. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'll think about it. Random Human joining us, saying it's been a while since he was in a Solomonster live. Didn't I see you last week? It hasn't been that long. Well, anyway, we're done here. So, Random Human, I hope you'll come back tomorrow night and join for WrestleMania this weekend. Thank you again for all of your support. Have yourselves a great night. Go get some sleep. That's what I'm going to go try to do right now. And I will see you guys for more Sound Off tomorrow night. Talking NXT TakeOver. Take care, guys.